billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
It's a really bad time to be homeless in the U.S.
The homelessness crisis.
Homelessness in America is at a record high.
Record high numbers earlier this year.
And we're getting rid of the slums, too. We have slums here. We're getting rid of them.
Trump tomorrow is like, we're going to put all the homeless people in concentration camps. We'd be like, let's give it a shot.
Police are standing, and they're told, don't do anything under any search of this, and you can see they want to get at it. But now they are allowed to do whatever the hell they want, and they can hit real hard.
Last year, the NAEH estimated there were over 770,000 people experiencing homelessness across the country, up almost 20% from the year before, and with the two biggest increases being kids and people over 55. That's bleak, and it turns out that is far from the whole story.
Just going by the official numbers, we're seeing the highest rates of homelessness since the point in time count this federal homeless census started to be conducted in the early 2000s. As bad as the official numbers are, the reality of homelessness in this country is exponentially worse. A conservative estimate of the true number of people who are unhoused right now in this country is at least six times greater than the official number. So we're talking about 4 million men, women, and children.
But first, it's ad read time, because God knows we're not making any money from YouTube AdSense. Thank you, Google. Skip ahead to this timestamp if you hate me and don't want to support my work. This episode is sponsored by Aura, the only cool company on this cursed platform. Google your name real quick. Odds are some of your personal information comes up, right? If I search my name, it's just my public social media profiles. That's because Aura is my digital watchdog. If they get even a whiff of my data being sold, traded, or exposed in a breach anywhere on the internet, including the dark web, they track down the source and make sure they have a bad time. There are companies out there called data brokers whose whole purpose is to find and sell your data. They do it without your consent, and they make billions selling it to marketers, scammers, and even stalkers. They are the worst. Thanks to Aura, they're not my problem anymore. Aura forces them to remove my data, and they keep it removed. But that's just part of why I use and genuinely appreciate Aura. It's an all-in-one security tool. They provide real-time fraud alerts for credit and banking, 24/7 identity theft monitoring, a secure VPN, antivirus, parental controls, password manager, credit checker, and a lot more. And if somehow anything does happen, Aura includes $5 million in identity theft insurance, and they have US-based fraud experts on call 24/7. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you're sick and tired of these stupid, evil little companies stealing your personal information and using it to make a quick buck. That's why I use Aura. It keeps me and my family safe online. If you're ready to protect your data, you can get 2 weeks absolutely free when you use my link. During those 2 weeks, you'll see exactly where your data is being leaked and who's doing it. Give it a try. I promise you'll appreciate the peace of mind. And now, back to the show. I think at this point we can say there is a war being waged against homeless people. Like, a real war. You might have already forgotten about this with everything else going on, but in August, Trump sent the National Guard to do sweeps on homeless camps in D.C.
The Trump administration's federal takeover of Washington, D.C. is escalating.
The crackdown on crime.
Part of President Trump's crime emergency order includes clearing homeless encampments. President Trump says it's about making the city safe and beautiful.
This wasn't some comedian set, it wasn't a talking head on Fox. The sitting president sent the military after people going through one of the most difficult things a person can experience. You and me, we know that having the military everywhere, all the time, like this, is part of the fascist frog boiling. If the excuse wasn't homeless people, it's gonna be protests, or crime, or helping ICE kidnap people discriminately, like we've seen in other cities. It's shaping up to be a real nice police state we've got here. But that's not the point. When Trump set the National Guard on DC's unhoused, it wasn't out of nowhere.
For years now, he and the rest of the conservative ecosystem have been promising that as soon as Trump got back in the White House, he was going to do just that.
When I'm back in the White House, we will use every tool, lever, and authority to get the homeless off our streets.
And last year, the Supreme Court gave him the biggest assist possible to do this. The case is called Grants Pass v. Johnson, and long story short, it overturned a previous decision that basically said that you can't just attack homeless people. Cities and states who wanted to tear down homeless camps first had to have enough shelter space where those people could go. It wasn't a perfect state of affairs, by any means. Sweeps always do more harm than good, even when there are shelter spaces available. But at the very least, it meant that if you had literally no other option than sleeping outside, cops weren't allowed to kick you out of your last resort. But last year, the court said they can. And sure enough, once in office, Trump signed this. The Ending Crime and Disorder on America's Streets Executive Order. This executive order has a lot of stuff in it that we could talk about. Like the fact that it insists on this idea that homeless people are violent, mentally ill drug addicts sleeping in tents and making cities dangerous. When the reality for the vast majority of homeless people is, of course, not that. A majority of homeless people don't have mental health or substance use disorders, and that's according to the government's own research. And other studies have, time and time again, shown that homeless people are much more likely to be victims of violent crime than its perpetrators. This idea that a lot of us have, that homeless people are dangerous criminals, even the idea that homelessness means sleeping outside, is wrong. Most of the 4 million homeless people in this country are nothing like that.
They are people who clock into work in the morning, and then when they get off of their shifts, they are not going to an apartment. They're going to a tent, or they're going to a shelter if there's any shelter space available, or they're going to these hotels or sleeping in their cars. The tents that we see on the street, the encampments, people sleeping under freeway overpasses, that's just the most visible manifestation of a far more pervasive catastrophe. This entire, what I refer to as this entire shadow realm of homelessness, people sleeping in their cars, who are doubled up in the overcrowded apartments of others, who are languishing, really trapped in these squalid extended stay hotels and motels and rooming houses where they're paying double or even triple what they would pay for an apartment down the road. So there's this whole world of homelessness we're not seeing.
Trump is trafficking in myths about homeless people we're all familiar with. Mistakes that anyone could make if their only experience of homelessness is maybe seeing someone on the street. They're a calculated lie. Take a shot, because this is another blame Reagan thing.
One problem that we've had even in the best of times, and that is the people who are sleeping on the grates. The homeless who are homeless, you might say, by choice.
Homelessness as we currently know it, as this kind of pervasive, seemingly unremarkable feature of the American city, like, was not always with us. It has not always been like that. There have always been people in this country, you know, here and there, who did not have stable shelter for various reasons. But homelessness as we currently know it, mass homelessness in this way, really erupted during the 1980s.
When Reagan came into office, it was on a plan to undo the New Deal and let the rich get away with murder. And much of that plan was built around making the line between getting by and hitting rock bottom as easy to trip over as possible. To that end, Reagan gutted the entire social safety net. Funds that went towards building public housing disappeared. Poor people were thrown off welfare and food stamps. And predictably, all this made the poor poorer, while landlords and rich people got tax cuts. Nothing ever trickled down, and homelessness exploded.
And the administration realized that something had to be done to sort of prevent people from linking this suffering that they could see all around them on the street, that they wouldn't link that to these policies.
So to fix this problem, Reagan's administration had a solution. Blame the poor. How? By only funding research on homelessness if it blamed alcoholism, drug abuse, or mental illness. People who wanted to investigate racism or lack of housing simply didn't get grants. So the public only got the story we're all familiar with today. And that worked. Reagan poisoned the well. In 86, the New York Times ran a poll asking people what they thought the cause of all this new homelessness was. And like you'd expect today, people blamed the homeless for being lazy, mentally ill, or having a substance abuse problem. No one cited the fact that because of Reagan, there was simply not enough affordable housing and more people who couldn't afford much of anything anymore. And that has never been more true than now. You've almost certainly heard before that no one in this country can afford a one-bedroom apartment on minimum wage. I have an even worse statistic. Look at this map. This map shows how many available, affordable homes there are for every 100 low-income households in every state. There is not one place in the U.S. where there are 100 affordable homes for 100 low-income households. Not one. In Nevada, for example, there are only 17 affordable places to rent for every 100 families that need it. I know that when you see someone on a street corner or you hear all these stories about homeless people doing drugs or having mental health problems, it's tempting to think that that's why they're homeless. That's what our politicians say, that's what we see in the media. YouTubers make entire careers off this. With maps like these, though, you realize that no matter what people do, even in a hypothetical scenario where nobody in America had a drug problem or a mental health problem or whatever, in a state like Nevada, 83% of poor families would still have to be homeless. There are just not enough affordable homes, regardless of whether you do everything right. Disabled people, working people, seniors, to not even get into those who are dealing with the immense struggles of mental health problems or substance abuse, are homeless by the millions. That cannot be an individual failure when it affects people going through such different circumstances. People are not homeless by choice. At least, not their choice. Business owners are choosing not to pay people enough for them to live. Politicians are choosing not to build and manage social housing in sufficient quantities. Landlords are choosing not to set affordable rents, and private equity is choosing to evict more people left and right.
Homes in the U.S. are the most expensive they have ever been.
It is getting harder and harder to afford a place to live.
The number of property foreclosures is steadily rising.
It's not affordable.
That reminds me, actually, of something shocking that Brian told us in our interview. We all know that during the pandemic, Blackstone and private equity muscled their way into the housing market and bought up a massive stock of rental properties that they neglect and turn into eviction mills. Brian told us they also bought up extended stay motels at the same time. Now, these are the last resort most people have before they are fully unhoused, meaning that not only are these companies jacking up rents and evicting people willy-nilly, they also own the place where you end up after they kick you out. Shitty motels that cost more than the place you've been evicted from and don't have the same tenant protections as a regular apartment. And if all this wasn't enough to convince you of how deeply not a choice homelessness is, look at my economy, dog.
There's cause for concern looking at the state of the American economy.
It's a very tough picture for the economy.
Entry-level jobs are vanishing at an alarming rate.
How many months in a row has the job report come out in the negative? You probably know people who've been laid off. Maybe you have. There are no jobs. There are no homes. Every affordable neighborhood has been gentrified by private equity and scummy developers. And instead of giving people a place to stay, the president's decided that the best solution is getting the military involved. Here is that executive order again. To the maximum extent permitted by law, all the rules on the books already criminalizing homelessness are going to be enforced. What does the maximum extent of the law mean to a guy who has plenary authority? It means anything goes.
I don't think it's alarmist to believe that those who are going to be forced off of the streets, who have already been forced out of public view, will be jailed, be put in prisons, be put in this growing archipelago of detention centers, and forced to do work that perhaps, you know, undocumented people were doing before they were rounded up and deported.
Trump tomorrow is like, we're gonna put all the homeless people in concentration camps. We'd be like, let's give it a shot. But the problem would be is then right after, it's a slippery slope, right? You walk around after all the homeless people will be taken away, you're like, this is pretty nice. Who else? balls.
Here's the big picture. We are in a tailspin, and more people are going to be homeless, couch surfing, living in a car, maybe even being out on the street. That's going to be the reality for more and more people in your life if it isn't already. Maybe you're already going through it yourself. This government does not want you to pay attention to how its war on the working class is to blame. They want billionaires to keep riding the AI bubble, moisturized and unbothered, to blame foreigners and the homeless themselves. And don't get me wrong, they'll say they'll help the homeless and offer treatment for any drug or mental health problems as well as shelter, and then they just won't. That's already happened. They don't care. Most importantly, they'll ignore and shut down the one thing that has proven to work. Housing first. Let me end the video here. Homelessness is a housing problem. It's not a drug problem. It's not a mental health problem. Plenty of places in the country have high rates of drug addiction and mental illness. Only in the places where housing is unaffordable is there a homelessness issue. Housing first is simple. Give people a home, cap it at 30% of their income, and they are no longer homeless. That's it. It doesn't matter if they have other things to deal with. You can't start putting your life together if you don't know where you're staying that night, or if your room doesn't have four walls and a door, or you don't have the minimum amount of privacy a human being needs. Housing first just works. We see this in study after study. People are healthier, they're thrown in jail less, they find a job more easily, and they stop being homeless more durably than with any other alternative. But it makes landlords less money. It sends fewer people to private prison. It doesn't give you an excuse to have stormtroopers on every block. It just saves lives. When so many people are just one missed paycheck or one medical emergency away from finding out just how bad being homeless can be, there is no alternative. Either we take care of each other, or we get taken care of.